Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about presidential successions in Africa. And with me here in studio, I'll be joined by my colleague, Blessing Zulu from the Zimbabwe service. He'll be joining me momentarily. Meanwhile, we're also joined from Burkina Faso by Issa Nepon. He's a news anchor and reporter with Burkina Faso's Public Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation, RTB. He joins us by phone from the capital, Ouagadougou. Issa, are you there?
I'm online.
How are you today?
Yes, I'm very fine. And you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay.
And we're also joined by Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He's joining us by phone from the South African city of Durban. Hello, Suleiman.
Yeah, good evening, Douglas and your listeners.
Good evening, Suleiman. Good to have you again on the show.
Thank you very much. Your pleasure is mine.
Thank you. And now my colleague, Blessing Zulu from the Zimbabwe service is right here. So, Blessings, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Douglas.
Yes, as just heard, gentlemen, angry demonstrators in Burkina Faso went on rampage Thursday in protest at plans to allow the president there to extend his 27-year rule. They set parliament ablaze and wreaked havoc across the city. Let's begin in Ouagadougou. Issa, please bring us up to date. What's going on right now in Ouagadougou?
Yeah, I have to say that people are still protesting, and they are like setting up a fire on tires and blocking all the ways going downtown. But so we can say that this afternoon it's less huge than before, like in the morning. And they are on the way to the presidential palace, you know, and they want to just kick the president out of his presidential house. But soldiers are there keeping them away from doing that. But what we can say is that President Compaoré, you know, in the past, when people go out on protest, they use just to protest for just like a few hours and then give up. But now they are really, really angry because they see no changes in their life since the president is in power. Also, he has done enough really for the development of the country. So what is being done now is, the latest news is the protesters went to see a retired general, a man who are really who is really loved by the troops and by the civilians. So they went to see him and ask him to take on power, to take over the power. But what's going on now is that the Compaoré has revoked the government and ask the opposition for a negotiation. That's the latest news here in Ouagadougou.
Has President Compaoré appeared on television? But we are told also that the protesters took over the radio, the TV station and radio station. Has he made a statement? Has he appeared in the public?
Not yet. But the TV station has been taken by the protesters, and they set up fire there, and so the TV is not broadcasting at this time, but the radio is still broadcasting music, and yeah, it's still going on, and people are still waiting on the roads to see what's going to happen after President Compaoré has asked for the army to occupy all the country and revoke the government before opening a negotiation with the opposition. But until now, we don't know if we have no clue on what the opposition is going to do after Compaoré asked them for negotiation.
But we understand the leader of the opposition has asked Mr. Compaoré to step aside, to resign. Have you heard that too?
We have to say that these are rumors. The chief of the opposition has never asked from Blaise Compaoré to step aside. He just asked Blaise Compaoré to for what he has seen, he saw to make a decision, the right one, who is going. With what the people want. But he doesn't want to say it clearly that he wants Blaise Compaoré to step aside because he wants to be like a really great Republican, doing like in any kind of democracy.
I see. Okay, let me come back here at studio to my colleague Blessings. We're talking of a president here who's been in power for 27 years. He's he was term limited at some point, but he went away with a technicality. This doesn't go very well for that country.
Indeed, I think sadly that is what is happening in most African countries. Even if there is a constitution to put presidential term limits, you know, there's a tendency by African leaders not to respect the country's constitutions and extend their terms. It's very unfortunate, Douglas. I mean, what is happening in Africa, you can call it in political science just electoralism. A halfway between authoritarian rule and democratization. This is why you see that people in the end do not end up even believing in elections because the outcome is known, you know, and people don't want to participate. And this is really frustrating.
Yeah, Suleiman, following up on Blessing's point there, since 1990, 11 countries in sub-Saharan Africa have had leaders try to rewrite their constitutions to do away with term limits. We are talking of leaders of countries like Burkina Faso, we're talking about right now, Chad, Gabon, Guinea, Namibia, Togo, Uganda. And only three failed. Only Malawi, Nigeria, and Zambia actually failed to go through with this. So if a man has been in power for 27 years and he's still trying, because most of these leaders have majorities in their so-called parliaments. So what option do the people have?
Douglas, let's put the facts clear. Let's remove the facts from trash. For all the leaders who have gone beyond 10 years, the fact is they have got no plan whatsoever to leave power.
Mm-hmm.
What they are doing is they are perfecting rigging, they are perfecting personalization of the state. In the long run, they are driving the countries closer to violence the way it has happened in Burkina Faso. There is no matter which country, Africa is sitting on a time bomb, especially in those countries where the leaders have decided that the countries have become their personal properties. What has happened in Burkina Faso can happen in any other country. As you are well aware, not long ago, Uganda had such a walk-to-walk demonstration. Even right now as we speak, in and out, young people are trying to demonstrate here and there. Even in other countries, Cameroon, Togo, all these countries, every African country where a leader has gone more than 10 years, it is vulnerable, it is restless, it can explode any time.
I see. Isa, let's go back to Ouagadougou, to Isa. Isa, so far, according to what you've observed in the city, what has been the reaction of the police and the army?
First of all, the police was very quiet, you know. They just tried not to respond to protest what they have been doing, like throwing stones, setting up fire, doing whatever. But at the end of the day, when they tried to reach the radio station, it changed. It changed because they have warned them to not to cross the red line. But as the TV station is just in front of the assembly, the parliament, it was very easy for protesters to just jump the road and then be in the TV station. But for the radio, it's not in the same place. The radio is not in the same place like the TV. So when they try to come and visit the TV, the radio station, they were the soldiers there, and they just throw water on them and try to take them away from doing that. But what I can add is that protesters went to the city because when the common stories on what's going on in Burkina Faso since 2 years ago, I mean, they never tell the truth, you know, because of the release of the communication, you know, they used to, tell stories from the point of view of the government, never from the point of view of the opponent. So they are very angry against that, and that's why they went to the TV and tried to set fire there. But right now, they're still waiting for what the retired general is going to say. Because we heard that he was heading up to the president residence to meet him there. But so far, there is no clue to say what is going to happen. But what you can guess, remember, is that the president has suspended his project to modify the constitution. So people are still waiting. We don't know what's going to happen, but we are really ready for another night of protest here in Ouagadougou, because people really don't want to give up, and they don't want to go away from the places they have taken, and they're waiting for Blaise Compaoré to say clearly, okay, I'm not going to run for any other mandate, and I'm not going to modify the constitution. That's what they're waiting for.
Blessings, that if they pull off this, that would be a remarkable thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. It would be quite remarkable.
But, there's another thing.
Yes.
I just want to ask, this afternoon, there were like a fight between soldiers keeping the presidential house and protesters who want to get in. And we heard that there were one dead there. He was killed because he wanted to, he refused to understand what was said, and he attempted to get in the presidential house, and he was killed. So that's what is going on now.
I see. Mm-hmm. Your comment on the resolve of these protesters?
I think it is Mike Twain who said that a politician is like a diaper, and both need constant changing, and both for the same reason. You know, it reminds me of a joke that there were an African leader is asked, where do you want to be buried if you die? And they are quick to say, I want to be buried in Jerusalem.
Mm.
And then if you ask, why do you want to be buried in Jerusalem? And they'll say, you know, I want to wake up after 3 days and go back to State House. You know, that's the dilemma that we are facing. And I think the Beknabe people should be commended, you know, for ensuring that, you don't perpetuate a rule by only one person, as if, you don't have people who are capable in the country. And this breeds corruption and all the evils that we have seen. And, you know, some of these leaders, like, where I come from in Zimbabwe, Mr. Mugabe is 90 years old, you know, and he still wants to run,
yeah,
you know, for two more terms. At 90? Come on, Douglas.
To break a record. So, Suleiman, briefly, before I go for a break, if these people pull off, at least because we are, according to the members of parliament there, they have put off, at least for now, the idea of changing the constitution to allow Mr. Compaoré run for another term. If they can achieve that, that's an achievement in itself.
Let's cross our fingers and give them our prayers so that they can pull it off. They want to be the first. I mean, why should Africa continue to be led by people who are really, who don't have any regard for people? If people can change in Ukraine, why shouldn't we change in Africa? It is time now to have a sub-Saharan spring. Let it spread, because Douglas, there is something wrong about the generation of the leaders which we have on the continent. It seems as if in Africa we are genetically, we have a genetic problem, because most of our leaders are greedy. They lie during broad daylight. They steal during broad daylight. They kill during broad daylight. They go away with all these evils. someone picks a family, even the very act of staying in power perpetually, the failure to appreciate that much as you be clever, much as you be popular, but you have to appreciate that there are other people who can do it maybe better than you.
Yes.
Or you have to give other people chance to give it a try. The failure to have that one shows that genetically there is something wrong with our African people.
I see.
Maybe we need to force them the way the people of Burkina Faso are forcing them to get to understand that it is appreciable if you can relinquish power and give it to another person.
Okay, well, gentlemen, hold your thoughts. We won't take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue a discussion of presidential successions in Africa. But don't go away. We'll come back after this very brief break.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. North to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on the Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America series here in Washington. Our topic tonight is presidential successions in Africa. Our panelists are my colleague Blessing Zulu, VOA Zimbabwe Service, Issa Nepon of Burkina Faso's Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation, RTB, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Gentlemen, Burkina Faso side, this week, Africa lost one of its presidents. President Michael Sata of Zambia died. And they agreed to put in Mr. Guy Scott to be the acting president for the remainder of 90 days until they go to elections. Then we begin this time in South Africa, because they are in that region, the region there. This smooth transfer, despite the fact that somebody died, seems to be a good point, at least.
Yes, Douglas, and we should appreciate and congratulate Zambians, because actually Zambians have now, they are entrenching, they are in that category which is having a growing democracy, because if you are to divide the continent, you find that we have pseudo-democracies, then we have growing democracies, and then we have democracies, pure democracies like Mauritius, South Africa, Ghana. Then you have got those which are growing, Zambia, Tanzania, Mozambique. They are those who are trying. Then the pseudo-democrats, the elected dictators, those whom we are saying 20 years, who are changing the constitution and so on, who are under the facade of democracy when actually they are dictatorship. So we should thank the Zambians. The institutions in Zambia seem to be growing stronger and stronger. But we should also pay tribute to those who started, because you remember Chiluba wanted to change the constitution, but we should also thank General Tembo, who was the vice president then, who led other cabinet members and they stood firm. From then, Zambia has been growing stronger and stronger. This is a sign of a growing democracy. We pray for them and we hope they will work as an example to other African countries.
A blessing. That's quite the opposite of what's happening in Zimbabwe, where there are even rumors that in case the current president can't go on, Grace the wife should succeed the first man.
I think, yeah, it is really problematic, I mean, for Zimbabwe, because you see, Zambia has had five presidents so far. Zimbabwe has known only one president.
That's right.
And, you know, we're joking with my colleagues that, can you imagine if Nyerere were to come back today and discover that, I mean, he only recognized Robert Mugabe in the whole continent. But sadly, for Zimbabwe, even today, Mr. Mugabe was attacking his vice president, Joyce Mujuru, because he says he heard rumors that Mujuru wants to take over, you know, when he eventually leaves office. And Mr. Mugabe is 90, and he was saying even yesterday, I'm not going anywhere, I will be here. And now they want to kick out the vice president, you know, simply because he does not want to succeed him even at that age. So now they're accusing the vice president of corruption, which is actually creating instability. Because when you talk about corruption in Africa, you know, most of these leaders are corrupt. But like the Igbo say, if you if a leopard wants to eat its young one, it will first accuse you of smelling like a goat.
Yes.
So if they want to eliminate you, they start attacking you, you know, and saying you're corrupt, you're working with the Americans in order to remove you from office.
That's right.
Very sad.
So, Issa, you just had us go across the continent and trying to contrast these transitions in the governments. Are the people there, especially those born in the last 20 years, are they... Are yearning? Are they hungry? From what you are hearing, yearning for a change?
Yeah. People are really, really ready to do whatever they can be able to make change happen. Because they have been saying that even our elders are saying that they born and they only Blaise Compaoré as president. And the son are getting older, and they only know the comparative president. You know, people are not that more angry against the president himself, more than he's willing to modify the constitution and stay longer on power. Because people think that 27 years is really too much. And he has done what he could, and it's time for him to retire and allow new generation, you know, to take over the power and see what they can do for the country too. So I can say that the night is going to be very, very, very long, because they really are not going to give up. And you can see that on the streets, it's only young people, you know, like about 25 years, 20 or 25 years, they're all outside protesting and making sure that change will happen, and they will be able to get work, get jobs, you know, and improve their life.
I see. Suleiman, I've been following a lot of people on the social media today. And most of them are happy that these protesters in Ouagadougou actually went to parliament and set it on fire, because most of them say the parliament, the members of parliament, are more to blame for this trend of changing constitutions to allow for unlimited term limits. Because we can see from experience, the only countries where they fought it and it worked, Malawi, Nigeria, and Zambia, it's the parliaments in those countries that stood their ground and said, no, you can't change the constitution for this.
You are right. Because when you look across the continent, DRC Kabila succeeding senior Kabila, Bongo succeeding the senior Bongo, Bia, Nyasinde, now they are, the way our colleagues have said, Mugabe wants to put a wife, Museveni wants to put a son, Kagame wants to put a son, Baraka, then Gaddafi. So all these ones, it's not that they just come overnight. They go through the parliament, and the parliaments vote these things. They vote the constitution to remove the term limits, and so on. So it is right that the people, the young people in Burkina Faso, went and destroyed that parliament and burnt it. I wish even other youths on the continent could also take the same steps, so that these dictators can learn a lesson that the continent is going nowhere. The most absurd thing, Douglas, is that whether we like it or not, even the actual democracies will not be able to progress so long as you have got poor and suffering people in the neighborhood. South Africa won't be able to make it so long as Mugabe is still in power, so long as the economy in Zimbabwe is still collapsing. People will continue to flow in South Africa, and South Africa will pay the debt. So are other countries, Ghana, so is Mauritius, and so on. So it is to the advantage of other countries that these dictators leave power, and then there is change. Otherwise, what has Burkina Faso gained from Compaoré? after 27 years on the Human Development Index, UN Human Development Index, Burkina Faso is 183 out of 186. So other countries like Uganda and the Togo and the Cameroon and so on, they are declining despite the leaders saying they are doing well for all those years, over 20 years.
I see. We are running out of time. Issa, briefly tell us, from what you're seeing there, are these prostitutes intending to stay there the whole night, or what will happen? Will they go home at night? What do you think?
Yeah, today, yeah. I mean, people brought food and some stuff, some paint to set up, you know, in the big places, and you know, spend then all the night outside, because they don't want to go back home, because they are afraid. They're scared the president will regain like energy and try to you know, to change his decision. But what I can just say is, I was really I was listening to one of our interlocutors, and the members of our parliament, because of what they have heard, they have bring the time of the vote from the afternoon to the morning. That's why people just get up at like about 7 o'clock in the morning and try to reach the parliament and burn it. And that's what happened. You know, they just went in, and all the deputies, they all run away, you know. And people, the protesters went in, took all the stuff. I mean, the burn, it was, you know, the parliament was partly burned, and they took all the stuff out of the parliament and built on the road. So that means they are really decided, they are really determined to go until they reach the goal.
I see.
So this night, people are going to stay outside and spend the night outside.
Like Hong Kong.
Like Hong Kong. blessing, this to me in the last 30 seconds sounds like the Burkina Faso Spring.
Indeed, yeah. But it's said that the African Union is doing nothing, and we wonder what happened to the peer review. It must be pushing for reforms and putting pressure on African leaders to adhere to the principles of democracy, not to just keep quiet.
But even more saddening is that statements from other capitals in Europe and elsewhere just condemn the protesters for they are calling for peaceful resolution.
Douglas, the international community are the financiers of these dictators. They are the ones who give them loans and grants, and the ones running the NGOs which have substituted governments. It is the African Union which is certifying all the elections which they are rigging, calling them free and fair. So the international community, together with the African Union, they are part of the problem of this continent.
Well, we shall keep monitoring what's going on in Ouagadougou and Burkina Faso and see how it's resolved. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague Blessing Zulu of VOA Zimbabwe Service, and thank you Issa Nepon of Burkina Faso Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation, RTB, and my friend and colleague, Dr. Suleiman Mugula, South African best independent political analyst. Gentlemen, once again, thanks very much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Our producer, as usual, has been Jackson. Thank you very much. Our producer has been Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Joe. My friend Joe was the one in charge of engineering. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can still get it if you go to our main website at www.voanews.com, click on programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and the whole program will be there. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.